But David is not referring to what we are seeing on the screen there. No. David is referring to a spiritual valley where you are entangled, just like that lizard was entangled with how many snakes? And then just the lizard escaped. I've got some translations here. The New Living Translation says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. The New King James is the one that we just read. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. Have you got valleys in your life? Are they deep? Are they wide? Do you have wild animals there? Is the question you need to be asking yourself. Sometimes we take these things for granted. We think that, oh, life is life, let's just move on. But they are valleys. And sometimes too, you think your valley is deeper than somebody's valley until you go out or until someone is telling, they are narrating their story to you. That is when you realize, no, you haven't got anything at all. Yours is just a brush on the shirt, or it's just a dot, it's just a dust on your shirt. The Christian walk is exactly what we have seen in the video. Just imagine you got up this morning and you can't walk. Just imagine you got up this morning and you can't see. Just imagine you got up this morning and you cannot hear. You cannot move your arms. Just imagine you got up this morning and you have a tummy ache. So just imagine that this morning you got up and you had some stomach ache and you decide to go to the GP or you go to A&E, and then they're telling you you've got something there. You've got cancer. Just imagine this morning you went to the hospital and they're telling you they've diagnosed you with diabetes. Just imagine this morning you got up this morning and something tragic happens to you. That is a valley. Would you still sing hallelujah anyhow? Would you still sit and praise God anyhow? When it rains on the mountain, the nutrients from the top travels. The rain drags it down to the bottom. As a result, most of the mountains or the mountainous areas at the bottom or in the valley are more nutritious than the top, because the nutrition from the top is dragged to the bottom. This is why most of the animals go there to eat. When you come to God as a child of God, when you accept Christ in your life, you have the benefit. You become nutritious. Satan will follow you, will chase after you. Whether you like it or not, it's inescapable. The day you proclaim that, yes, I'm a child of God, you become a target. Satan will be in the lurk for you. All kinds of things will happen to you. Can you still praise him in the valley? Can you still sing hallelujah anyhow in the valley? You don't understand what I'm talking about. Maybe some of us haven't even experienced that. So, it's just a story. Oh, Chris is just saying something. Have you been there before? Have you got a date that you can remember? When you have been in that valley, in the deep, darkest valley, when you scream, when you shout, when you feel helpless, you feel like no one is there to help you, God is not listening to you, can you still sing hallelujah anyhow? That land becomes fertile. The food items there are very greeny. They grow very well. They are very nutritious. And everyone goes there to eat. The animals who don't eat these fruits know that other animals go there so that they can go and get their food from there. So let's speak the language of that lizard there. Okay? Let's pretend that we understand what the lizard was saying when it got to the top. You remember when the lizard got to the top, other lizards came and they were, I don't know whether they were whispering to each other. If I really want to interpret that, I would be saying that they were saying, oh, hello, bruv, you've made it. You've made it. And then he'll probably be saying, oh, yes, I have. Even though I've been entangled, even though I've been chased, even though I've been followed by snakes, I'll sing hallelujah anyhow. Amen. You can interpret it anyhow you like it. The valley of the shadow of death. David, when you listen to David and his language, is nothing but through experience. All the encounters that David had, that's what David spoke about. That's what he wrote about. That's what he talks about. And most of the time, for us to understand what David is saying, we have to relate to what he's saying. You have to relate to what David is saying. Can you still sing hallelujah anyhow? So in the valley, there are so many songs that we can sing. The Bible teaches us songs, the Psalms, so many promises that we can proclaim, we can claim from God when we are in the valley. When I'm down, when things are so hard for me, I tend to go to the book of Isaiah or the book of the Psalms. I tend to go to those books. They do me good. I've just got one here, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When you are in the valley, these are the songs that you are supposed to be singing. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumble and these are the songs that we have to be singing. Then David went on to say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. David was a man of war. So try to relate to what David is saying now. David probably went to a battlefield, came back. I defeated whoever was there. And everything was fine with him. And David was saying, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So you were hit so hard with that illness, with that death in the family, with that problem in your marriage, with your children not listening to you, with all kinds of things, with financial problems, all kinds of things happening to you. And you are smiling. Is that possible? Hallelujah. In the middle of all this, we say hallelujah anyhow in the valleys. A brother went to church one day, and after church, someone said, can I speak to you? Can I speak to you? And he said, can you hold on? He said, no. I need to go. So I need to talk to you now. So he said, okay. And this other brother said, I used to hate you. He said, really? Oh, why is that? He said, well, it's because I was listening to people, things that people were saying about you, but now you have proved me beyond reasonable doubt. And the brother said, oh, really? Oh, praise the Lord. He said, praise the Lord. Oh, he said, no, don't get me wrong, I don't hate you now. That was before. That was right after church. Hallelujah. Yes, you get people who will come to you. People of such nature, they will come to you. You have to sing hallelujah anyhow. Amen? Amen. You have to learn to sing that hallelujah anyhow. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, There's a familiar text that says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what?
And powers.
And it goes on. Okay? So, I want to remind you today that whatever is happening to you in your life is not against flesh and blood. So that you'll be so worried. You'll be so worried. You become so despondent, so stressed that you don't want to do anything. You have to look at it from another point and know that it's a battle. It's a battle that you need to fight. As I mentioned earlier, the Christian valley is a deep one. So I said earlier that one, the day you declare that you are the child of God, you become Satan's number one enemy. So he will throw anything at you. He will throw anything at you. It's either illness, problems at work, death in the family, problems in your marriage, finances. The list goes on and on and on. That is the valley you're traveling through, and you need to learn how to fight, how to walk through the valley, how to sing through the valley, how to glory through the valley, how to overcome in the valley. I want to tell you a little story. Most of you who know me, you know that I love little girls. I love little girls. Sometimes I play with the parent. Oh, that's my wife. That's my wife. That's my wife. Okay? And a few years ago, I'm not going to tell you where. A few years ago, I was attending church in a place. And there was this little girl, the same age as my eldest son. So that girl would have been 21 now. At the time, I think, was about 2.5 years. And because of the way I played with that girl, anytime we went to church, she would come to me. She would just run to me, like some of the little girls we have in here do. And that day, I remember very well, she came, I carried her, and the father was saying, oh, I haven't received the cows yet. You need to bring the cows before you can marry her. Those jokes, you know. And then Sunday, I remember very well, I was just sitting in the chair, my phone rang, and it was the little girl's mother. And then she said to me, oh, your wife is no more. I said, what do you mean my wife is no more? She said, yes, I'm serious. She died this afternoon. I said, you're joking. Tell me you're joking. She said, no. And truly, that 2.5-year-old girl died. I saw her. She was playing with me on Sabbath. Sunday, she died. That is a deep valley. Would you still sing hallelujah anyhow? Or would you curse God and die? Would you still sing hallelujah anyhow? When you went to the hospital with your auntie, with your father, with your mom, and they're telling you that, oh, she or he has got 2 days to live, would you still sing hallelujah anyhow? Believers, let's not take things for granted. People are living, they are in hospital today. They know that, okay, I've got 5 days to live. I've got 6 months to live. Would you still sing hallelujah anyhow? You got up in the morning, your wife said to you, I don't want this marriage anymore. I want a divorce. Would you still sing hallelujah anyhow? In Psalm 91, we were told that he who dwells in the secret place, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. And then he says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snares of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Would you still sing hallelujah anyhow? In the valleys, we have disappointment. Even though in the valleys are benefits, so many benefits, so are so many dangers in the valley. The difference between you and the person on the street who do not believe in God is that you have a hope that you hold on to. So whatever comes on you and comes from the same person over there, you know that I have a hope. If something should happen to me today, my Savior will come for me one day. That is the difference. That is why we sing hallelujah anyhow. That is the difference. So if you don't know how to sing that song, I'm encouraging you today to learn to sing that song. It's a song we need to learn to sing every day, in every situation, every circumstances. Hallelujah, anyhow. 18th of November 2016 is one of my valley days. 18th of November 2016 is one of my valley days. I got up and something happened to me. I went to sleep, got up, and something happened to me. I ran to A&E. The doctors were confused, totally confused, because they did not know, even up until today, they didn't know exactly what happened. The cause, they didn't know. I cried, and I cried, and I cried some more. One day, and I said to myself, no, I'm not going to go to church anymore. How could God allow this to happen to me? I was so disappointed. I became so depressed to the point that I turned my phone off a few days. Then I said to myself, you are lying to yourself. You are lying to yourself. You can't stop going to church because of this. Do you really think that God doesn't know what happened to you? Do you really think that God is not feeling the pain that you're feeling of what has happened to you? Do you really think that it is the wish of God for that to happen to you? Even if it's the wish of God, there is a reason why he allowed it to happen to you. So sing hallelujah anyhow. The next day, I went to town, and I saw someone with the same problem, but even bigger, far bigger than mine. And I said, hallelujah, anyhow. I said, God, you did this purposely for me to see that mine is just a drop in the ocean. What you're going through is just a drop in the ocean compared to someone over there. Learn to sing hallelujah anyhow. And that's in your situations. The lesson for the youth this week is about mission and how the disciples suffer. The lesson was telling me that even though they were beaten, they were stoned. You remember Paul was stoned at one stage. And then those who were stoning him thought that he was dead. So they left him. And then the other disciples came and then he got up. But according to this lesson, they were rejoicing. How can you rejoice after being stoned? That is called a valley. Some of them were put to prison. That is a valley. So again, if you read Paul's writings carefully, he glories in pain. He rejoices in pain. When things are happening, when he's been put through that rough road, he will say, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or persecutions? That language, you need to understand why the writer is writing that. So that when you are going through these things, you can relate to what they have been through. I know it doesn't sound real to some of us, but that is reality. We cannot polish it. We cannot beautify it. We cannot decorate it. It has to be the way it is. In its exactitude, you can't change it. That is reality. That is reality. Whether we like it or not, there will be death in our family. There will be illnesses. We can go on our knees and pray for weeks, for months. And then you go back to visit the person in hospital, and then there's a curtain around the person, and then they're saying, "He's gone." That is reality. Would you still sing hallelujah anyhow? One of my favorite psalms says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, we will not be afraid." And because of these things, we shout hallelujah anyhow. We have to. We haven't got a choice but to shout hallelujah anyhow when the valleys are there, when the mountains are so high you can't climb them. You sing hallelujah anyhow. What is your valley like this morning or this afternoon? What is your valley like? Or what is the valley like to the person you love so much, so close to you? What is the valley like? Is it deep? Is it so wide? Is it so dark that you cry? Is it your marriage that is crumbling, but you kept it so quiet? Is it something that had happened to you? Just like me, I haven't said it to just few people I told. I ran to pastor, and I parked the car in the car park there, and I cry, and then I wiped my face neatly before I went to him, because I didn't want him to see that I was crying. And I told him what happened to me. Is it that valley? How dark is it? How deep is the valley? What are you doing about it? What songs do you sing every day in this valley? You see, some of us come to church every day with a smile. But underneath that smile are valleys upon valleys upon valleys. But we sing hallelujah anyhow. I'm going to ask the musician to play any song. And if you have that valley, if it's that deep, I'm going to ask Sister Yvonne to come forward for us. Is that valley so deep? You hide in your room and you cry. You have no one to talk to. What is the valley like? Or maybe it's just a tiny valley. Whatever it is, I want you to come forward. And I want Sister Yvonne to pray for us. What is that valley like? I've got so many of them. If I want to start today, I'm not going to finish. My stories are just full of valleys. I've learned to accept that my life is valleys. What valleys have you got? How deep are they? How dark are these valleys? Sometimes we languish in silence, because we are so scared that we're going to tell somebody. And that person is going to share with someone. And then it goes round and round And then before you know, it's in CNN. So we keep it to ourselves. Have you got a valley or a mountain that you can't climb? How deep it is it? In the valleys, we learn to go on our knees. Learn to go on our knees until your knees become black in the valleys. Sivon?
Most holy, righteous, eternal God in heaven, we do humbly bow before you at this time. Lord, we are unworthy, but we know that thou art worthy. We are not good, but we know that thou art good. Father in heaven, you have given us so much, but we have given you so little. So we want to ask you, Lord, to forgive us where we have erred and strayed and wandered from you. So that as we come to you now, Lord, you will hear our cry. Lord, the valleys are so low. The mountains are so high. But there is nothing impossible with you. Lord, we want to cry out like David. When we have this relationship with you, where we can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Lord, I pray that you will comfort us. Lord, put your loving arms around us and help us to understand that when we walk through these valleys, you are there because you promised that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Holy God, may we hold to your unchanging hand, the hand that never changes. God, you say, I am the same today, yesterday, and forever. Behold, I change not. You are still God. If you took David out of that valley, you will do the same for us today. Whatever our situation is, whatever crisis it is, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, Lord, whatever the situation is, whether we feel unloved, whether we feel uncared for, when it seems as if we can't find the next bill to pay, whatever the situation is, Lord, if we spend a little more time on our knees and say, Lord, here I am before you, you will hear us. Father, there is nothing too good that you will not give your children. So, Lord, you are asking us, be patient, my child, and hold on a little bit longer. Lord, sometimes there is so much that we've got to learn in these valleys. So much that we've got to learn while we are climbing up the mountains. Lord, there are thorns and there are thistles, there are blocks, there are so many blockades in the way. But Lord, you want us to learn to trust you just a little bit more. Amen. Father, you're saying, hold on, my child. Hold on a little bit longer. The battle is not yours, it is mine. But you need to learn to trust in me. You need to hold on to me a little bit more. So Lord, as we come to you today, whatever the illness is, whatever the sadness is, whatever the pain is, whatever our needs, whatever our wants, you promise that you will supply. You said we are to call on you. You said if we seek you with our whole hearts, we will find you. You said, Lord, that we are to call upon you while you may be found. Seek you while you are there. Because you promise that your ears are never too heavy to hear our cry, nor your hands shortened that it will not bless. So, Lord, we commit our lives to you today. We commit our ways to you. Lord, we ask that you will encircle us with your arms of love, so that we will feel comforted knowing that, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we should fear no evil because you are walking with us. You are guiding us. And you are leading us to safety. Father, you're coming back for a prepared people. I pray, Lord, that we will so commit our lives to you that Jesus Christ will be seen and heard in us. So regardless of what we are going through, like Paul, we will say neither height nor depth, principalities nor powers, things present nor things to come. Nothing, absolutely nothing in this world will be that strong that it will be separate us from the love of Christ Jesus that is within us. Hear our prayers, Lord. Let our cries come unto you, because we ask all these mercies with thanksgiving in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.